This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies, pickle bar, led by my two personal favorites, the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It's also your tailgating headquarters. It is always great to be joined by the incomparable Phil Steele. My friend, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Hey, a real pleasure, Steve. I got to ask you, is your entrance theme always Enter Sandman or just after Virginia Tech games?
It always has been for about 12, 13 years now.
I've used Enter Sandman.
So it's been there, you know, and the oddity is in 2020, Penn State was scheduled to play at Virginia Tech. Now, I've done basketball games at Virginia Tech. But, of course, that game in 2020 ended up being on the cancellation list. So I've never done a football game in Lane Stadium to hear Enter Sandman.
I tell you what, to me, it's one of the best entrances of college football.
Oh, I agree. That's why I was looking forward to it so much. Like, really? Doggone pandemic, Phil. All right. They don't do that for basketball. But football, it's so cool. All right, so here we are at this stage. Midway through for Penn State, about the midway point for almost everybody else. So what has been your take? We'll start with the home team first, then we'll start spreading out. What's been your take on Penn State to this stage?
Pretty much as expected. You know, I thought the West Virginia game, the right before the half, getting those key big pass plays, I think was key to them taking control of that game. The Illinois game, not quite as dominant as you wanted, needing a late score to win by 14, but you look at games statistically, they had a 374 to 219 yard edge. Probably the one game that would concern me would be USC, trailing the majority of the game, down by 14 at half. But I like the way they rebounded and came back and won. The defense is playing to expectations, holding opponents to 113 yards below their single season average. The run game has looked really good. Last 2 weeks struggled a little bit, but you know, Singleton and Allen are a dynamic combo and getting more big plays than last year. And Drew Allar at quarterback, while he's got four interceptions, which doubles the total from last year, yeah. I've been pretty impressed. So overall, I'm very happy with what I've seen out of Penn State, and they're pretty much as expected.
What's interesting is we're at the stage of the season now, Phil, where there are going to be some teams that fall into the two-loss pool, which means to me they have to be perfect the rest of the way. One could end up being Georgia. Definitely one of Alabama or Tennessee will be when the weekend is over with. How interested are you in that two-loss pool once this weekend comes and goes?
Yeah, I think we're definitely going to see two-loss teams make the playoff this year. No doubt about that. The question is, will a three-loss team make the playoff? But I think, like you mentioned, once you lose that second game, you do have to play perfect the rest of the season. We'll see some teams weed themselves out of the mix. You know, a couple weeks ago, it seemed like Tennessee and Mississippi were locks to make the playoff. Now, with a couple of losses and maybe upcoming losses, they may be out of the mix. So it's just a lot of fun at this point. And I still think we're going to see the majority of the playoff teams are going to come from the SEC and the Big Ten.
So let's get to the SEC. Texas is going to take, you know, they've got Georgia. Texas is number one, and it's not as if they've been unscathed. Quinn Ewers has been out. They've had to come up with other running backs. What has impressed you about Texas?
Well, just overall the way Yeah, the way they take care of business. I mean, every single opponent they have beaten just like they should have. They don't really let up on anybody and haven't played down to the level of their competition at all. So you got to like that. I guess the one thing I'm wondering about with Texas, I know their defense is playing extremely well, 230 yards per game, holding opponents to 129 yards per game below their season average. But my big question is, who have they played offensively? Probably the top offense they faced, at least statistically this year, is UTSA. Everybody ranks in the lower part of the standings. Now they're taking on a pretty good offense in Georgia. I'm really interested in that part of the battle.
Yeah, I am too, because Carson Beck has had some big games to this stage of the season, and we know Georgia has talent. But at the same time, when you watch the first 2.5 quarters of the Alabama game, what concerned you about Georgia when they played Bama?
Overall, with Georgia this year, it is the fact their defense is not as dominant as it has been in recent years. I think that's probably the biggest thing that jumps out to me. Go back to last year. They held opponents to 102 yards per game below their season average, which was number one in the country. Now, this year, they're actually number 25 in the country. And, you know, a top 25 defense is nice, but with Georgia, you're accustomed to them having a dominant top defense, probably the best defense in the country. So that's my biggest question mark at this point is their defense going to come around and start playing like you would expect Georgia? I think Georgia's a national title contender if their defense is in the top 5 or 10, not if their defense is in the top 25.
What helped me out is on the trip back from Los Angeles, we did have TVs in the plane, so I could watch Ohio State play Oregon. The interesting part to me, and I want to get your read on this, a long time ago here, Penn State 1982 plays Nebraska. And Penn State won in the final seconds on a touchdown pass from Todd Blackledge to Alan Bowman's father, Kirk Bowman. And Penn State wins the game. But it was a game if you were there. Penn State had two touchdowns called back. Penn State missed four field goals. He even missed an extra point after the winning touchdown. Right? They could have won the game by a lot more. I watched Oregon and felt the same way, that they had stuff. They made so many mistakes. They took points off the board. They actually could have, in my opinion, could have won by more. Did you share that same opinion?
Yeah, I do. I also think, you know, you could say Ohio State could have easily won the game. So it's one of those things. Yeah. But I came, you know, the one thing, Steve, that jumped out to me in this game is coming into it, you expected Ohio State to dominate the line of scrimmage, right? Because they've got one of the top offensive lines, one of the top defensive lines in the country. I thought Oregon had the offense and defensive line edge, and they were without their top defensive lineman coming in, and with Birch being out for the game. I thought it was huge coming into the game. So I thought the line of scrimmage, I would agree with you in that factor, that Oregon played a better than expected game. And you have to give them the quarterback edge in something like that. I mean, Dillon Gabriel is one of the top quarterbacks in the country. Will Howard is good, but I don't think he's Dillon Gabriel.
No, and I agree. I think that makes a big difference, especially I feel like Gabriel makes great decisions. He's accurate with the ball. I love his decision-making, and decision-making includes times when to run the ball. Him.
Right.
And I think that makes when you do that, especially in the red zone, defensively, you have to commit somebody to Gabriel. If you have a guy that's a pocket passer, you don't have to.
Yeah, absolutely. And you look at Oregon at the start of the year, they were sort of interchanging their offensive line a little bit, because against Idaho and against Boise State, they weren't dominant. They gave up 7 sacks. They only averaged 3 yards per carry. But they finally got the offensive line rotation up to the standard I thought they would be coming into the year. And they played a lot better the last 4 games, and I think that's been the difference in Oregon's offense and makes them a legitimate national title contender.
Okay, so I'm going to turn the clock back to early in the season with Oregon. They played Boise State. Ashton Jeanty had more yards individually rushing in the game than Ohio State did on Saturday night against Oregon by about 52 yards. The group of five is going to get a team in. What's been your thought on Boise State, and what's your thought on him as a running back?
Pretty electric. so many big plays and big runs for Ashton Gentry. And, you know, like you go back 2 weeks ago against Utah State, he had all his yards in the first half, didn't even play in the second half. So in the magazine, I had Boise as my number one group of five team to make the playoff this year, and they've made me pretty happy. I think they're going to live up to that. Now, they do have a tough test coming up where they play UNLV next week on the road. That's probably the biggest, well, it is the biggest, toughest remaining game that they have on the schedule. But if they take care of business against UNLV, I think it's between Boise State and Tulane for that spot. Tulane's been pretty impressive as well this year. But right now, I'd have Boise number one.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the Friday night game. So that's going to be the UNLV-Boise game. To me, that's a must-watch. But let's get to it, an undefeated that nobody's talking about, Indiana. All right. They're undefeated. I'm not saying that they're going to get anywhere, but what's been your thought on the job that they've done there?
It's pretty much what I had expected. Not maybe not quite to this degree. Well, probably to this degree. In fact, you know, in the Big Ten media poll, Indiana was picked 17th. And everybody asks me every year, Steve, they say, Phil, do you have a favorite team? And I go, yes, I have a favorite team. And they go, who is it? I go, it's a team I picked higher than everybody else. So as it was, everybody picked them 17th. I had them 12th in the Big Ten. Yeah. And there I hedged my bet a little bit, thinking, well, I can't pick them any higher than that, can I? But I've been an Indiana fan all year. They're playing great defense. They've got all those James Madison transfers, and they've lived up to that potential. They've got the run game with Ellison, Lawton, and Black. Curtis Rourke, who was the MAC Offensive Player of the Year 2 years ago, looks like it. He's hitting 74% with a 14-2 ratio. Now, keep in mind they haven't really played anybody. Maryland, probably the toughest opponent that they played. They're going to take on a really good opponent this week in Nebraska. Nebraska's got a legitimate defense. Hutmaker leads that defensive line, which is just nasty up front. And I like what I've seen out of Dylan Raiola as well. So I think we're going to learn a lot about these two teams this year. Indiana's having a great year. Cignetti's doing a great job. And, you know, the thing I like about Cignetti, Steve, is that in the transfers he's brought in, they not only had to have experience, they had to have, like, be a conference player of the year experience type of thing. So he brought in the right guys. I think the NIL money that they promised Cignetti at the start of the year really helped.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And for Nebraska, they've only lost the one game to Illinois, and it was one of those games where I felt like they lost the game more than, quote, Illinois won it. So Matt Rule's done some good things there. Now let's get to a team that lost on opening day, Clemson. Clemson was behind, I think, 6-0 at halftime, because I'm trying to do that from memory only because I was doing the West Virginia-Penn State game at the time. They have not lost since. Now, I realize they're not facing, quote, murderer's row, but what do you think of Clemson now at this stage, and how dangerous are they to get to the playoff?
No, I think they will make the playoff this year, and you're absolutely correct. It was 6-0 at the half, close game. And what happened was I think Dabo was a little reluctant to play his freshman wide receivers in that game. And then all of a sudden, after that loss to Georgia, he said, you know what, we're going to bring out Brian Wesco, we're going to bring out T.J. Moore, two of the highest rated wide receivers coming out of high school this year, and they both have made a major impact on that receiving core. With that receiving core now getting the upgrade. And remember last year with Clemson, coming into the year, in the first three games, they had lost their top two wide receivers. So they were really a depleted receiving core. Those guys are back. They've added in the freshman. Tremendous receiving core. Cade Klubnik has looked like you would have thought he would look coming out of high school. 17-2 ratio. Now that he's got the receiving core, they've got Phil Moffitt in the backfield. The defense, you know, I was surprised Stanford gained 230 yards on them in the first half. But other than that, they've been really good, and they've got plenty of talent there. So it's a very dangerous Clemson team. I look at the rest of their schedule. At Virginia Tech, ironically, Enter Sandman, is the only place that they could potentially lose, I think. I do think they beat Pitt on the road, and I've got Clemson playing in the ACC title game.
Yeah, no, I think that is a great pick. Miami is sitting there as well. They've had a couple little bit of officiating help along the way. The replay guys have been, I would say, kind to them. But overall level of play outside of that with Cam Ward at the controls, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think what's going to happen with Miami this week, Steve, is you're going to see them look the best they have all season. There's not going to be a close game. I think they go on the road and get this one.
Yeah.
Louisville's pass defense has been a little suspect, at least in my mind. I thought Louisville got outplayed by Georgia Tech. Notre Dame, they trailed by 2 touchdowns. Smooth, they lost by 7 at home. And they need a late touchdown to get past Virginia. Miami's had a week off. I think they feel fortunate that they're 6-0 after the Virginia Tech and Cal games. I mean, Cal, they needed a 25-point comeback. But with Cam Ward, Damian Martinez, and a very confident group, I look for Miami to play their best game of the year this week.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think they've put themselves in that spot, and I think they will play exactly the way you thought they would play. Tennessee has hit a little bit of a skid here at this point, and the odd part to me is, with Josh Heupel's mind, it's the offense. I think the defense has been playing pretty well. What's been your thought on them, especially with the matchup with Alabama?
Yeah, and, you know, with Tennessee, the key for a Josh Heupel offense, everybody thinks it's a pass game. It's actually the run game.
If they're
running for 250 yards, then guess what? Everything's wide open. Teams have to bring another guy in the box. That gives you a lot of one-on-ones, and that's when their offense is so explosive, 69, 51, 71 points the first three games. But the last three games have all been under 200 yards rushing, and that's where their offense tends to struggle. And I think Bama's got the players in the defensive front seven to control Tennessee's run game and put the onus on Nico Iamaleava. And, you know, when you look at Tennessee, they should have been down probably 17-0 at the half to Florida. Florida had four drives inside the red zone. They fumbled at the one-yard line, got stopped on downs, kicked a field goal, and had it taken off the board for too many men on the field, and only had 3 points at the half. So they could have actually lost to Florida last week on top of losing to Arkansas the week before. Now, I'm not going to say Alabama's been dominant the last 2 weeks. In fact, ever since halftime of the Georgia game, they haven't looked good the last 10 quarters. But I've seen Alabama against Georgia. I know they're capable of playing it. And I'll take Jalen Milroe over the freshman quarterback. I think Alabama's a better team, goes into Tennessee and comes out of there with a win.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I do. I mentioned Oregon-Ohio State earlier. What Ohio State is massively talented. We know that. What's been your thought on them to this point?
You know, it's the same question I had coming into the year, Steve. Defensive line, they've got so many top draft picks there. You would expect that defensive line to be getting 4 or 5 sacks every single game.
Right.
How many sacks they have against Oregon? None. And on the offensive line, you know, they've got the talent there, but they're not overwhelming. Last week, as you mentioned, Boise ran for more yards against Oregon than Ohio State did. So I think it's the line play has been a little disappointing. And I would say, to me, it's the defensive line does not add up to the sum of the parts. They have really good guys on the defensive line. The NFL's going to love these guys, but they're not playing like it.
Right. And that's exactly what we were talking about the other day. That's been a surprise. If I just give you the names, you would assume they're playing great. Yet when you watch them, they're playing well, but not great. Is that fair?
Yes, not dominant. And you would expect them to be a dominant. Remember that South Carolina-Kentucky game?
Yeah.
I don't know if you got a chance to watch it, but South Carolina's defensive front just chewed up Kentucky.
Yeah,
Kentucky couldn't.
Indeed.
Every time their quarterback stepped back to pass, he was under pressure. They couldn't run the ball for an inch. And South Carolina's defensive line really impressed me in that game. That's what I would expect out of Ohio State on a weekly basis.
Hey, by the way, down in the Dome, Tech will take on Notre Dame. What's been your thought on those two teams to this point?
And if Notre Dame keeps losing players every single week, it seems like they lose a different starter. But they're playing well. And I like the fact that Riley Leonard, remember he didn't have a touchdown pass the first couple of games. Now he's up to 6 on the year. They're taking care of business. They're playing well. With Georgia Tech, I think they play above the sum of their parts. You know, they're one where they play better than the overall talent that they have with Brent Key. They're always dangerous as a dog. But I don't know if they're up to the talent level at Notre Dame. So I like the Irish to win this week. But I've been impressed with both teams.
You are a gem. Thank you so much for the time you gave us today, because look, you're always working on something and you always carve out a few minutes for us, and I appreciate it so much.
Steve, it's always great talking to you, my friend. Thanks for having me on, and good luck in the upcoming weeks.
Appreciate it, and we'll talk soon, I hope.
All right. Sounds good, Steve.
The outstanding Phil Steele. joining us on the show today. And this half hour being brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports domestics microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, lots and lots of snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies, pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. It is all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
October is SUV month. SUV month at a Sunbury Motors Ford.
Sun, ride with the sun, Sunbury Motors.
Pick from 32 new Ford Escapes and 25 new Ford Bronco Sports, both discounted $4,000. And they're on sale starting at just $28,965. Choose from 19 of the totally redesigned 2025 Ford Explorer that comfortably seats 7 passengers, and they're reduced $5,000 and priced from only $39,230. Sunbury Motors, located in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly owned by the Mertz family for 109 years. Hurry, sale ends October 31st.